Hey everyone, it's Liz Berg back here on the podcast after a little bit of an absence. I was away helping WFMU with our annual broadcast of the Primavera Sound Festival in Barcelona, Spain. Went off quite well and the archives are available for listening. You can check them out on WFMU.org. We're going to be pursuing some permissions to hopefully get some of those sets on the free music archive. So keep your fingers crossed and I'll keep you posted. This week we're going off on a tangent on the podcast, but it's a really great tangent. I got to interview one of my musical heroes, and I'm really excited to share it with you. I spoke with Giorgio Moroder, who is a record producer, a songwriter, a performer, and now a DJ. And he was in New York for a DJ gig, his first ever DJ gig, and that was put on by the Red Bull Music Academy. And so I wanted to thank Adam Shore from Red Bull for helping me set up the interview. Thanks to Kendall Ratley. Thanks to Beth Krakauer and Benjamin Walker, who also helped me make this happen. For those of you who aren't familiar with Giorgio Moroder, I can guarantee you that his influence has somehow seeped into your psyche because he is so ingrained in popular culture from the last few decades. He started out making bubblegum music and glam music in Germany back in the 60s and 70s, and then got really into the Moog, discovered the Moog, and turned to making electronic music, first some experimental stuff, and then a lot of pop music. He was a really influential figure in the disco movement. He was really famous for collaborating with Donna Summer on her song I Feel Love. That's Giorgio Moroder! He also did extensive film soundtrack work in the 70s and 80s, Midnight Express, Scarface, The Never Ending Story. He's won Grammys, he's won Academy Awards, and most recently he's collaborated with Daft Punk on their latest album, Random Access Memories, and he's also written a song for a Google video game. Anyway, Giorgio Moroder, quite a dynamo. He's been an intriguing figure to me in the music world for quite some time, and I was really excited to get to sit down with him for 15 minutes. So let's take a listen to the interview, and then I'll play a few of his songs, and we'll be back at the end of the podcast to wrap things up. So hope you enjoy. Tell me about your DJ gig last night.
It was my first DJ, real DJ, in the world, actually, not only in New York, and it was fantastic. Great audience, they went along well, I think the music was well paced. I played part of the new song which is out with Daft Punk, the Giorgio by Moroder, which by the way would make a great perfume, which I'm thinking of investigating, right? So it went really well, and it was a lot of fun. Although I lost a little bit of voice, but that's coming back.
Were you screaming? Is this
why? No, I don't know why. Everybody else was screaming, so I guess maybe I did that too. But at the end of the show, I could barely speak.
I wanted to know about your early encounters with synthesized or electronic music. And why it stood out to you as something that you might want to pursue.
Yeah, I liked one album called Switch It on Bach with Walter Carlos. And I wanted to find out who owns one and to hear it. So I finally found a German composer who had one. And so he played it to me, some classical kind of low note. And it was interesting, but I really wanted to have more pop sounds, and so he showed me some other sounds and I loved it, and it was too complicated and too expensive to buy one, so I just hired his technician, his sound engineer, and I told him I need a bass, I need this, and that's how it started.
What influenced your change in sound? Because at first you were recording, you know, some bubblegum and Schlager music and yeah. And some glam songs even, but then you sort of veered more heavily towards the electronic sound. Was there a specific inspiration for that change?
No, the synthesizer, once you have a synthesizer, you have to use it or you want to use it. So that gave a little bit of that electronic feel in the song. And the more you have, the more you like, let's say, the more you use it, the more you like it. And then in 78, I think I did that song, I Feel Love. And that was all synthesizer, and from there on, I used the synthesizer a lot.
So that was what hooked you. Is
that was the first,
the first song.
Yeah, I used it. I used the synthesizer before too, but that was the moment that where I used it very much.
And were there any artists that you were listening to at the time that that inspired you?
No, not really. Maybe some disco sounds, some. From sounds from Philadelphia, maybe, but not. I would not have listened to a song and say, okay, that's what I want to do. Because first of all, I was too busy doing my own stuff, and I was not that much interested in what else is going on.
Some of your earlier recordings were very poppy, and then others were very experimental, you know, like Einzelganger, you know.
Yeah.
It's still very catchy music, but it's, you know, not what we consider pop music.
Yeah.
But then, you know, later in your career, I think you moved more towards the pop sound and less of the experimental sound. Was that a deliberate decision?
Well, the experimental sound of Einzelganger, that was an experiment. If I listen now to that tracks, I thought, wow, I was quite courageous in that sense to release an album like that, because it had so many sounds and the different things. And in fact, I have to listen again to the whole album, and because I just listened lately to some sections of it, but it was quite interesting the things I heard. And to be honest, I was really surprised a few months ago when I heard some parts of the album, how kind of experimental the whole thing was.
Yeah, did you ever think about working with any of the krautrock artists like Can or Kraftwerk at the time, or
no,
were they sort of outside
Kraftwerk,
of your?
Kraftwerk, you know, they were the four guys in Frankfurt or Düsseldorf. They were kind of a world apart. Can, I never met them. The guys in Munich, there was a group called Popol Vuh, which they were too crazy for my taste. So I had my own club with my musicians. So I didn't really collaborate with any of the other guys.
I know you've always accepted and embraced new technologies throughout your career, and that's probably why you're still doing interesting things now.
Mm-hmm.
What excites you about the new technologies that are available?
Oh, it's always a great and challenging. In fact, if I go back to the ideas I had, or the instruments which I started to use, one was the quadraphonic head. You know, it's a head made of plastic or something with two microphones, and it's supposed to give the feel of surround. Then I worked with a vocoder, the first vocoder from Sennheiser. I had a little Japanese little toy. I had a hit with a stylo and the little things. Then the synthesizer came up. Then I did my first ever recording in digital, where the digital machines were like as big as this room, and I had to go to Utah to Dr. Stockham. I did the first ever four-channel digital performance of the movie Metropolis at the Academy in New York, where I hooked up two Sony 24 tracks synced. What else did I do with technology? Well, that's it. So I was always anxious to listen on here and see some new stuff.
That's nice. And today, is there anything that you're particularly excited about using?
I don't know if there's anything except all the MIDI and all the computers, all the sounds. No, there's nothing really new. The vocoder is coming back now, which I used 30 years ago. No, I wouldn't know.
Okay.
If you know something, tell me. I'm anxious to hear.
Tell me what kind of music you're listening to lately.
Lately, I'm just listening to top, whatever, 50.
Yeah, do you have any specific artists that you like right now?
No, actually, I love most of the stuff which is out now. I listen, for example, to Kiss FM, or I, even better, I go into the internet, I go to, let's say, there's a great program, I don't know where it's coming from, which has the charts of the whole world, the best songs in England, in America, in Italy, and they all have a video. So I just go by the number one in Italy, okay, let's hear it, and then I go to number two. So I think I know every song of the top 20 in the world. I probably know every song. I don't know the titles, but as soon as I hear, I know what it is.
And do you keep up with this
throughout
your life?
Whatever, 10, 20 minutes a day. Just, you have to get informed. And by the way, I love most of the stuff which is out now, especially the dance stuff. It's, sometimes I think, aren't you tired of listening to that stuff? And I think they have so many great sounds now, and so I'm still listening.
Can you tell me if there's anything, looking back at your career, if there's anything that you're particularly proud of or maybe embarrassed by even?
Oh, embarrassed I wouldn't tell you, but a ton of stuff. Great moments are, of course, when I got my first Oscar, that was like absolutely incredible. When my son was born was incredible on the human side of it. Those probably were the two moments in my life.
Can you tell me about any other projects you're working on aside from DJing right now?
Well, I'm recording with, I started to work a little bit, but nothing official, with Avicii. But you know, those guys in general, they're all so busy. Avicii, I was supposed to meet him the day after. He sent an email. He's already somewhere in the world playing. And you know, I think they're making so much money by playing that they really cannot really afford to stay at home. Or on the other hand, they all need to record because that's what promotes them. So I think all those guys have quite some conflicts, because you know, to miss $100,000 or $150,000 gig, that's a lot of money, right? So I have the feel they are in a plane, I don't know, 2-3 times a week actually. I was looking at the schedule of David Guetta. It's incredible. Like the other day, he was in Arabia, what's it, in Dubai. The day after, he was in Istanbul. I think 2 days later, he was, I think, in Helsinki, and then back here. And it's like absolutely crazy.
Now, do you have anybody that you haven't worked with before that you would really love to work with?
Well, I obviously didn't work with the big names, the Lady Gagas and the Rihannas and the Pink, which I love the last song she did. Those are all great artists. If they ask me if they want a song from me, I'm more than happy to give it.
So do you think maybe this your DJ gigs and all of this publicity now is going to help you? Maybe get in with Lady Gaga or Pink?
I'm ready. I love Lady Gaga. She loves me. Maybe if I have the right song, I'm going to collaborate with her. So I'm just waiting and see what's happening.
And how often are you writing songs? Just all the time?
Well, I write a song when I really have to. I rarely go to the studio and start unless I have an idea, I wouldn't do it. But if I know that somebody, for example, is looking for a song and I know there is a real possibility, then I would go in the studio and start working on it. Because it's, years ago it was very easy. You would do a little demo, drums, bass, and the guitar, and that was enough. Now, even a demo has to sound great, because people are used to almost to hear finished songs. So to do a great recording, since I'm not a great musician, it takes quite long. And if I want to have a good demo, I'm going to have to hire somebody. So what used to be like a day work, now it's a week or 2 weeks. So you have to know pretty much what you need and what you want.
When you're taking on a new film score project, how early in the process do you get to speak with the director?
That depends. For example, on Scarface, I was on very early. They were still filming. So the movie came out probably 6, 7, 8 months after. But most of the time, like Flashdance, I only had about 2 months' time. And so it depends. I kind of like the pressure, and especially that I like the fact that you see the movie almost finished. With Scarface, I just saw them filming. I saw very little, so I could not even start composing. But so I like when I can get a video of the movie, you know, like a rough cut, but so I can see the story, I can see how it develops. That's it?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. l'ho scelto io. Ho imparato a stare in fila, fare sempre presto, a lavorare per sei giorni e poi pregare. E so che non direi che faccio una pazzia. Tu sei mio padre, sai leggermi negli occhi, adesso vado via. Da oggi la mia vita è solamente mia. So che non direi che faccio una pazzia. Tu sei mio padre, sai leggermi negli occhi, adesso vado via. Da oggi la mia vita è solamente mia. Tu sei mio padre e so che non.
right, Liz Berg back here with you on the podcast to let you know a little bit more about the music that we heard. The last thing that I played was Giorgio Moroder's new song, Racer, which is the soundtrack to a video game by Google as part of Chrome. So anyway, you can check it out on the internet. Before that, we heard the Italian version of Giorgio's fantastic song, Son of My Father. The Italian version is Tu Sei Mio Padre. And that was released, in the mid to late 70s, early 70s. Sorry, early 70s. What am I talking about? Giorgio Moroder's great experimental work before that, Good Old Germany, one of my favorite songs off of the great album Einzelgänger, which is, some of his early sort of Moog experimentations, and that's from the year 1975. Before that, we heard the interview that I did with Giorgio Moroder, and what a really nice guy. I mean, you meet somebody who's had such an influence on pop culture, and you don't want your heart broken. You don't want them to be a mean person. So I was pretty excited that Giorgio was a nice guy and was willing to talk with me about, some strange questions. I feel like every interview I've heard with Giorgio Moroder talks a lot about his work in disco and, kind of goes over the song I Feel Love with Donna Summer over and over and over again. So I really wanted to focus on some other aspects of his career that I thought were pretty amazing. One thing I did take away from this whole interview is that in talking with Giorgio about his collaborations with Daft Punk on their new album Random Access Memories, Giorgio was explaining being in the studio with Daft Punk and how specific they are about their sound. And he was just amazed because I guess they had three vocal microphones set up, and Daft Punk does a lot of processed vocals, so Giorgio is asking the sound engineer, why are there three microphones? There's an old one that's from the 60s, and then a newer one that's maybe from the 80s, and then a contemporary one. And the sound engineer is like, well, nobody can tell the difference between the sound that comes out of these three microphones except for Daft Punk. So it's important to the band. But that really drew, an important line, I think, that there is in the creative process, where there are a lot of groups out there who are trying to reproduce a sound that they heard. And, that's great. And Daft Punk does a good job of that, I think. And I think, there are a lot of artists that I quite enjoy that are, just trying to pin down that sound from the past that they heard, or some sound from a, from an old record that they heard. And so Daft Punk, I think, falls on that side of the spectrum. But then on the other side of the creative spectrum, there are people who are just out in their own little creative bubble doing their own thing. And I really think Giorgio Moroder falls into that category. As we were talking about his influences and, the other amazing artists that were making music, around the same time in Germany, he really wasn't influenced by them. He found them interesting, but, he had some ideas in his head, and, his creative process was just happening totally separate and almost, isolated from all these other influences. So that was really interesting to me to see the difference between the creative processes in someone like Giorgio Moroder and then a group like Daft Punk. So that is the thought that I will leave you with on today's podcast. And then next week, I hope to be bringing you an audio postcard. I always try to, anytime I leave town, I try to make some recordings and leave them with you as a little audio postcard. So hopefully we'll have that next week. And then, more free music archive hits as well. So thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time. Oh, one more thing I forgot. I did like an hour and a half special on Giorgio Moroder on my radio show this past week. So if you're into his music, or if you just want to learn a little bit more or hear some more of his music, I definitely encourage you to check out the radio show version of this, which is quite extended and long and really fun. And I played some of my favorite Giorgio Moroder songs. Okay, you can grab that. Go to wfmu.org/playlists/LB and check out the full on radio show archive. Okay, thanks.